This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَرَحْمَةُ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ Brothers and sisters, I start off by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, all praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We send blessings and salutations upon Allahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah to bless them, bless every one of us. My brothers and sisters, one thing that we all know is marriage is closely connected to the customs that we live within based on our own societies and communities. And many times people make marriage very, very difficult. They add in it rules, regulations, steps that need to be taken that are not from Islam. And because people are making marriage difficult, they're making the opposite easy. And that is to just, live in sin. So living in sin has become so easy. To have just a relationship with someone that is no strings attached becomes much easier than actually being married to a person. So it's very difficult. Let's look at what the Quran says. Let's look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. What impresses me a lot is Shu'aib alayhi salam. It's reported obviously that when Musa alayhi salam left for Madian, he helped a certain, a few girls, two of these girls, he helped them with their flock of sheep. And as a result, they were very impressed. They went home early. The father asked them, how are you so early here? And they said, well, there was a man who helped us and he was from outside. And he asked them to call this man. And they called him. He went to the home. He spoke to them for a while. He told them the story. And so Shu'aib alayhi salam did not waste time in telling him, listen, I'd like you to marry one of my daughters. One of my daughters, I want them to get married to you. Now, stop for a moment. Why did Allah mention this in the Quran? I mean, we think we're holier than that man. And we think that, you know, our daughters are better than those. And we think that perhaps the guy that we have is better than Musa alayhi salam. But we don't realize Allah mentioned it for a reason. You have a daughter, you need to be on the lookout for that daughter. You need to make sure that you are looking and carefully, with eyes open, checking and seeing and so on. Now, at times that daughter might come with an idea. These daughters came with an idea in the sense that they told the father that, oh, our father, why don't you employ him? He's a strong man and he's an honest man. The father understood these girls are praising this guy, so let me get one of them married to him. That's amazing. How many of us would listen to what our daughters have to say if a daughter comes and says, today there was a man who helped me do something. He was a very good man. He was honest and hardworking. I think many of us would tell her, get lost. What were you doing looking at him? Why did you allow him to help you? Well, it happens. I mean, you go into a public place. Sometimes you need help and publicly someone might help you with utmost respect. So I've helped tons of people of the opposite gender. And the idea is just to render help. They may or may not know who you are. That's besides the point. But you did it for the sake of Allah. If Allah opens a door of goodness thereafter, alhamdulillah. So to be honest, this is live, by the way. Someone's asking, is this live or is it recorded? It is live. So to be honest, we learn from this because Allah mentions it in the Quran for us to take heed. And like I say, for me, it's one of the most impressive stories when it comes to getting your kids married. Here is a man. He was noticed by these two girls. They went home and told their father about him when he asked. And the father says, okay, bring this man in. They were praising the man to say, why don't you give him a job? Let him do this task for us and so on, because he's honest and he is hardworking. The father understood these girls are praising this guy. Perhaps, they like him. And to be honest, to be fair, obviously, he was Musa after all, alayhi salam. And so he says, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَ بْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجَ. So many cultures that we have today have been crushed by this verse, where the man is offering his daughter to another man, and he is saying, look, I want to offer you one of these two. I want you to marry one of my daughters. Yes, it is live. I want you to marry one of my daughters. And I know that you're just a man, you're a stranger, but you work for me for 8 years as part of the compensation, or part of the price, should I say. Imagine, to work for your father-in-law in many cultures is taboo. To go and live with your in-laws as a man, many cultures consider it taboo. That has nothing to do with Islam. It is not taboo at all. If the circumstances have driven you to that, it is the most beautiful thing that could happen. If your in-laws need you as a man, and perhaps your parents may not need you because there are other brothers and so on, there is nothing wrong in going to live with your in-laws, absolutely nothing, to benefit from them. There is nothing wrong to be paid by your father-in-law, to work for your father-in-law. Nothing wrong at all. Now, all those who follow that culture, what will you say about what Allah has spoken about here? When Allah says, here is a prophet of Allah working for his father-in-law for 8 solid years. And I want to give you another example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He worked for a woman who became his wife, Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked for her. He did business for her. And nobody can deny that. You know, it's a very respectful thing. Imagine if someone says, who do you work for? Oh, I work for my wife. I actually do her business. Allahu Akbar, we would cry foul. That's because we are arrogant, we are proud, we have stuck to our cultural guns against all odds, and we've made marriage difficult and impossible at times. So we are guilty of promoting and encouraging, directly or indirectly, haram. Haram. Why? Because you've made it difficult. What will happen as a result? Sin is going to be facilitated. And this is where this whole thing comes in, to say, my brothers and sisters, here's the Quran. We're in the month of the Quran. We're in Ramadan. Your kids want to get married. There is no harm in them bringing up a suggestion. I want to marry so-and-so. A lot of our parents in many countries would say, who are you? Why did you lift your eyes? Why did you look up? I'm never going to accept it. What's this love marriage all about? And so it's not that. I just saw someone who I felt would make a brilliant spouse. You, my father, you go every day, everywhere. You've never, ever looked for someone for me who's compatible with me. You know, never. And when I've done it, when Allah has made someone cross my path, you don't want to agree because you're arrogant and you're proud and you're against the teachings of Allah. Allah does not make you cross a path of someone for nothing. Subhanallah. So this is something very interesting, because many of our parents out there would disagree, but they don't know the Quran is actually on the other side. I told you that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example, he worked for a woman, he married her. I wonder what would have happened if that was in our society today. Astaghfirullah. And we claim to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow him and to love Allah and follow the Quran. Whoa, subhanallah. I see someone sending love from Pakistan. This is a problem there as well. So my brothers and sisters, I tell you, it's extremely important for us to wake up and understand that Islam is not to blame. It's our backward cultures that have made it so difficult. We have weddings that are lavish. We borrow money from the bank to get our kids married, and we think we're good Muslims. We want to have big weddings. When the Prophet ﷺ said, have something simple and don't delay it. Let it happen. Let the nikah happen. You know, let the katib kitab or the nikah happen. They call it a fatiha in some cultures. But we shouldn't waste our time. And the Prophet ﷺ taught this to us. So who do we think we are? Then we want happiness. No wonder there's so much divorce going on. Subhanallah. Because people are marrying those whom they don't want to marry. And a lot of them are in love with someone else, or they've been eyeing out someone else. So you have to facilitate what Allah has allowed. And subhanallah, Shu'aib alayhi salam had his son-in-law, Musa alayhi salam, work for him for 8 years. And after 8 years, he took his family, he greeted them, bid them farewell, and he left. And that's when he got prophethood. Subhanallah. So point number one, would you ever allow someone, your daughter, to come to you and say, listen, I've come across someone and this person helped me do something, or it was at work or was at the university and so on. And, you know, I really want you to consider this person and so on. What would you say? Are you better than Shu'aib alayhi salam? You know, would you say, إني أريد أن أنكحك, you know, I want to get you married to one of my daughters here, subhanAllah. Or would you actually then say, no way, I'm never, you're not allowed to have looked, you're not allowed to have crossed paths, you're not allowed to have been a human being and so on. So this is crazy, my brothers and sisters. And then Musa alayhi salam agreed and he got married. He didn't have anything. They didn't have a big function and a huge wedding where they wasted money and they invited tons of people. Like I said in one of my programs recently, that the coronavirus has given us, has made it easy for us to adopt the sunnah method of having a very simple nikah with few people and you have it sorted, mashallah, mashallah. So let's understand this. I hope that our lives can change by what I've just said now. It is in the Quran. Go and read Surah Al-Qasas and see what is happening and see what Allah says and learn a lesson from it. Don't just read the story of the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, and say, yeah, that's a good story. No. Why did Allah put it in the Quran? For you, my beloved father or mother, or those who are making marriage difficult. Yes. If the person is really a ridiculous person, their character is out of order and their deen is out of order, then you have reason to say, listen, my beloved daughter, I won't accept someone who's on drugs and who has a really bad reputation confirmed. You know, you can't just believe allegations. Allegations are all over the show. Someone wants to break your home, they can make any allegation here and there. But to be honest with you, if you have something confirmed, then, subhanAllah, it would be, you're right to say, listen, I wouldn't like this marriage because here are the reasons. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So, brothers and sisters, the children you have are not yours. They belong to you for a short period of time, but ultimately they are Allah's. They belong to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are all belonging to Allah and we're going to go back to Allah. So just use your few days on earth to do the right things. At the end of the day, you're going to die. And you know what? Your kids are going to be without you at some point. So Allah will look after them and take care of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. This was a very important topic. I'm actually so passionate about it because more and more people are making it so difficult. People are saying, you can't get married because of this virus that's here. The virus might take 10 years to leave. Who knows? Are you going to change your whole life and not deny everybody's marriages? They could have had kids who are 9 years old by the time corona ends. May Allah grant us an ending of this pandemic. But there might be another pandemic that's going to come. So life has to continue. The first opportunity you get, you must let it be. And don't make life difficult for people. So I thought this would be a good topic to discuss. Like I said, culture is a good thing unless it contradicts what Allah has taught. It becomes difficult. It makes life difficult for us. People say, this person belongs to, I can't get you married to this one and that one because of whatever. They come from a different part of the city or they come from another city and so on. You know what? We need to wake up. The world has become a global village. If you've grown up in a similar way, subhanAllah, let things be. The deen, the akhlaq, look at us here. We're talking to each other together. Yes, it's not easy to marry cross-culturally, especially when people have been living in totally separate environments and they're not easygoing and they're not mature enough to understand the differences. Then it's not easy. But if you've lived in a similar city, or you've studied at similar schools, you've brought up in a similar way and you come from a different race or you come from a different cultural background, it's not wrong to get married. People use the term compatibility or kufu, kafa'a, and say, no, that marriage is not allowed. No. Race has nothing to do with compatibility. Also, your culture has nothing to do with compatibility if you have grown up in a similar way. For example, you're all in London or you're all in New York. You've all been brought up in the West and everyone's been to similar schools and they know the norms and so on. You've become people of one westernized sort of a culture where you may have had other cultures before in the previous generation, but the new generation has become one culture. And understand that. And yes, there will be differences which need to be discussed. However, going back to the issue of living with in-laws, you know, I know the Indians consider it, the Indians and Indo-Paks, they consider it totally taboo. Change your mind. It's not wrong at all. People can go and live with your son can live with his in-laws. There's no problem. SubhanAllah. If that's what makes them happy, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's okay for as long as they're happy and they're surviving there. Similarly, to work for your father-in-law or to work for your wife, is not a wrong thing. It has happened. The best of people and people who are much better than us, chosen by Allah, have done that. So alhamdulillah, these are a few good points. Another, the last point, I'm repeating it for the third time. If your child comes up with a proposition to say, I'm interested in so-and-so, please look into it carefully. And if there's nothing wrong, let it be. Let it be. Don't be arrogant and proud and say, it's never going to happen over my dead body. It can't be, and so on. It's not going. If it is okay, and if they have come across each other some way or another, please open the doors and you will see how Allah will open your doors. If they have made a mistake, at the end of the day, there was a possibility of you also having selected in a way that would have ended in divorce. So divorce is not the end of the world, nor does it mean people were bad. But it's just that perhaps compatibility wasn't there of a certain level, or people found out later that they were drifting apart. So it doesn't make either of them bad. It's just that it didn't work. So let's try and come together, inshallah, and facilitate for our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all ease. Someone is saying, can you marry your cousin? The answer is, Islamically, the marriage would be valid. Medically, a lot of people don't recommend it because they say that for your genes to be stronger, you should go further away. But it is a permissible marriage, alhamdulillah. So I love you all, my brothers and sisters. I thought this would be a good boost. It is live. I'm speaking to you from Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And inshallah, I pray that we can connect tomorrow once again at a similar time, if Allah wills. Until then, أقول قولي هذا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.